Our gospel this morning is Luke chapter 2, beginning with the 25th verse. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, waiting for the comfort of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what was customary according to the law, Simeon took him into his arms and praised God. He said, "Lord, you now dismiss your servant in peace, according to your word, because my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Joseph and the child's mother were amazed at the things that were spoken about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Listen carefully. This child is appointed for the falling and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." Anna, a prophetess, was there. She was a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage. And then she was a widow of 84 years. She did not leave the temple complex, since she was worshiping with fasting and prayers, night and day. Standing nearby at that very hour, she gave thanks to the Lord. She kept speaking about the child to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had accomplished everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town, Nazareth. The child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was on him. The Gospel of our Lord. Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace are yours in abundance. Amen. Christmas has created a monster. That monster happens to be our little boy. I'm sure you know the feeling as parents of giving your children what they wanted. For us now, he wanted it so much that it makes it difficult to stop playing with Christmas gifts, with toys, and then go and eat, or get in the car and go somewhere, or go to bed. Sound familiar? Okay, the monster isn't our little boy in his essence. It's his sinful nature. And it's really not too different than all of us. We all have a sinful nature, an inner monster, a willing target just waiting to be tempted, just trying to be tempted. In fact, as I speak, I assure you that someone here, and maybe at home, are thinking about your Christmas gifts. Because as much as you love Jesus, it's hard not to be distracted and want to go home and play with that toy. Especially those of you who are home. I know it because it's me. I have a sinful nature too, and I remember long Christmas services at church just waiting to go home. It's like the old saying, desire is the cause of all suffering. Or as Solomon writes in the book of Proverbs, warning against greed, coveting, and lust. In fact, Solomon himself fell into all of those sins. So, Pastor, what are we waiting for? Let's get through this so we can go home and appease our sinful nature, right? Or maybe not. Maybe today we can look to Simeon and figure out a great lesson on how to counteract our inner monster, our sinful nature. And just learn from Simeon how Christmas creates a lifestyle. And by that I mean a sanctified lifestyle. Because in Simeon, we learn how to wait for comfort and how to depart in peace. Now, to be honest, this wasn't Christmas, at least not for Mary and Joseph anymore. This would have happened in our text, would have happened 40 days after Jesus was born in that manger. I'd like to think that Christmas was getting better for Mary and Joseph, that the place they were staying had improved a little bit, probably at a relative's home, where maybe they were able to change out that manger for a more appropriate crib. But I don't know. I do know that for Simeon, this was Christmas, because Simeon, this old man in the temple, had never met Jesus Christ, this little tiny baby. It was the first Christmas, his chance to meet the Savior, also for Anna as well. So Christmas was only getting bigger and better for God's people. And the first thing we learn about Simeon, other than that he was a man of Jerusalem and a worker in the temple, is that he was righteous and devout. What does that mean? As an imperfect sinner, I see that, and I think I tend to glaze over little details about people like Abraham and Noah and Simeon when we're told they're righteous and devout. But I think it's worth a little bit of a talk here. Righteous means loving his neighbor, doing right by those around him, sort of like the second table of the law. And devout means loving the Lord, his God, doing right by God, eagerly serving God in the temple. But Luke is also quick to say where that righteousness, where that devoutness is coming from. What does Luke say? He says he was waiting for the consolation or the comfort of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Those are two pretty important details. Waiting for the comfort of Israel and the Holy Spirit was upon him. See, Simeon wasn't righteous and devout because he had this natural disposition, or because of custom that he was used to doing this, or because it came from his family upbringing. Simeon was righteous and devout because of faith. The Holy Spirit had created faith in his heart in the promises of God in the Old Testament, the things that we talked about this past week that were fulfilled in Christmas. And he couldn't wait to hold baby Jesus in his arms. I'll tell you why in a minute, but maybe you may be wondering if we could prove that he was righteous. I'll give you a little bit of proof that he was loving toward his neighbor. As soon as he recognized the promised Messiah in the baby Jesus, he praised God for sending the one whom the Father had prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of his people Israel. Sorry, I have to say it that way because that's how I hear the song after communion. Simeon wasn't thinking about himself as an elite Jew. He was thinking about the Gentiles, the peoples, the nations. And it caused him incredible joy just to think that this baby was not just for him, not just for this people, but through this people, a blessing for all the nations, just as God had promised Abraham, whom he had set apart as the father of this particular nation. Now through Jesus, Abraham was the father of many nations. And Luke also refers to his love for God in the word devout. So Luke says, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. This is back in verse 27. Notice again, he didn't approach the Lord's house out of self-righteousness or habit, as if continually going to church was this outward form, a way in which he could earn favor from God. No, he was moved by the Spirit. He entered the house with a burning heart, full of spiritual life and a holy hunger for God's word. See, Simeon didn't delay his repentance until old age. He didn't wait to say sorry for his sins till some future time because He's got all kinds of time. But he turned to God early in life so that he could be prepared for anything, even death, once he received God's absolute forgiveness. Simeon was singing his song his whole life long. And I'll tell you what makes that remarkable. It's because somehow God had revealed to him that he would not die until what? Until he had seen the Lord's Christ. With that knowledge, it frightens me a little bit what I would do. What the inner monster, the willing target just waiting to be tempted, would do. I think with that knowledge I might say, well, I have however long it takes for me to see the Savior in the flesh, so now it's time to eat, drink, and be merry. Now it's time to recklessly throw caution to the wind, because I'll know when I'm going to die. It's when I see the Savior. I can repent of everything at that moment, and then the Lord will take me. I'll be forgiven. But Simeon didn't use that information as a license to sin, did he? He used that information as a reason to grow even closer to God now, in this life. He followed a righteous and devout life. Luke doesn't tell us that. The evangelist, by the Spirit's inspiration, doesn't tell us that so that we simply ignore it. He says that so that you and I might learn to prepare for death. Not so that we can unleash the sinful nature, that inner target, that inner monster within us, but so that you and I learn how to wait for comfort. Because we do that at times. We find ourselves troubled. We find ourselves sick. We find ourselves worrying. We find ourselves struck by all of the dangers and threats out there in the world. And we find ourselves waiting for comfort. How can we possibly wait for comfort, Lord, when things so bad are happening right now? And I'm in danger. How can I wait for the consolation that God has in Jesus Christ? Well, I'll tell you how. Because for you and me, it's not too different than it is for Simeon. You and I are cradled in the arms of the Lord through his servant in holy baptism. As we were brought into his family in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And you and I, who are confirmed, get to cradle the Lord Jesus in our hands as we partake of his body in with and under the bread, and his blood in with and under the wine. Now, I know that's not the same thing as holding baby Jesus in your hands, but it is how Jesus chooses to meet us in this life, and how, as we wait, Jesus promises to give us comfort for our sins, for our worst enemies, death and the devil, and for the tools to fight against our sinful nature. So Simeon's a great way for us to learn how to wait for comfort. He's also a great way for us to learn how to depart in peace. I think it's easy to see the words righteous and devout and kind of figure we can't learn a lot of lessons from Simeon because he's sort of the spiritual elite. He's sort of in a category of his own. Maybe he's not so relatable. Maybe it's equally as difficult to relate to Anna, who never left the temple complex and worshipped with fasting and prayers night and day. But this isn't some whitewashed version of people of God. The Lord doesn't tell us this so that we can dismiss Simeon and Anna in peace because they're so inaccessible, so difficult to relate to them. It's important to see that Simeon didn't say this about himself, neither did Anna. Who said that they were righteous and devout, that they were continually at the temple looking for the Lord day and night? It was St. Luke. It was the Holy Spirit about them later. In the moment, when Simeon got to hold Jesus, what did he say? For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for every people. I love how carefully that's worded. It's not, I have prepared myself for this salvation. It's not, I have these merits that I've stacked up like papers on your desk, Lord, so make sure you file through them because I want my reward. It's, my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for every people. And when Simeon says it that way, he puts himself in the same realm as all of the heathens and all of the sinners in the world. He casts himself into the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ by wording it that way. Your salvation, which you have prepared for every people. Because the grace that alone can save all those heathens and all those sinners was Simeon's only comfort as well. He believed in the Savior of sinners as the comfort of Israel. He waited on the Savior of sinners his life long, and he carried the Savior of sinners continually in his heart. Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, was Simeon's only hope for departing in peace. He also says, the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. Now think about this. On their deathbeds, those who have not thought about what it takes to get to heaven, how fearful they are when they learn that this is it, that they're going to die. It's a gruesome feeling and a gruesome sight to think about someone who hasn't grappled with what death brings in this life. People who have, so to speak, whistled through the darkness and just kind of put it off. Compare that to one who has served the Lord in faith his life long, Simeon, for example. You'd think if he sees baby Jesus, knowing that's when he will be taken from this world, he'd turn pale and afraid. He might panic and shriek and leave the building because he knows this means his death. And at any moment after Jesus appeared in the temple, the Lord was going to take Simeon and he would be judged. No. That's not how Simeon reacts. Far from it. His old eyes light up with joy. And he walks over and takes the baby in his arms. And he says, Lord, now you let your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared for every people. This is the way to die. To be honest, this is the way that a faithful Christian from youth dies. And do you know why? It's because when you repent, when you sorrow over your sins and approach God with a contrite heart, you've already grappled with death. If you were honest with yourself, examining yourself for Holy Communion, you've peered into the eternal hellfire of darkness prepared for the angels who rebelled against God, and now is the judgment for those who do not believe. And you've said, I belong there. I should be chained there, shackled for an eternity. When you repent, this is what you do. But you also know in your repentance that you combine it with faith that the Holy Spirit has created in your hearts. And you know that the blood of Jesus has freed you from eternal hellfire, that you're no longer shackled. And Jesus Christ himself has forced death to check its weapons at the door. Death is disarmed on you, just as it was disarmed on Simeon. Old servants of the Lord are not distressed that we have to be removed in death from this world. It doesn't shake us, not the past and not the future. Oh, you know your own sins. The memory of that may linger for us imperfect human beings. But we also know how to say with Paul in Romans, who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who can condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised and is at the right hand of God, who is also interceding for us. And there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So that you and I can look with longing eyes towards death. Yes, even towards death. Once upon a time, an individual complained to this pastor that we say, depart in peace after we receive Holy Communion. That's what the pastor says, depart in peace. And pastor, it just sounds like you're saying, think about death now. And at first I thought, that's not really how I think of it. I think depart just means go, and you can leave this building, and you can have peace for your daily life. Otherworldly peace that comes from Jesus and not this world. But I also thought, if you do think of it that way, depart in peace, maybe it's not so bad. You've confessed your sins, you've tasted forgiveness, and now whatever might happen to you between now and next Sunday, or now until we meet again, you're okay. Because you have peace with God. And you might close your eyes this night and not wake up the next morning, but really, that will be the gateway crossing the boundary lines of pleasant places into a land of eternal joy. So I think I should wrap up what I said about our little monster created by Christmas. We had sort of a really big success yesterday morning. We thought we'd take him to breakfast and have him eat so that he doesn't think about Christmas gifts, and then he can play for like 3 hours before lunch. But he saw the toys on the way to the high chair. And the tears flowed, and I was ready to pull him out if cups were going to fly and bowls were going to be overturned. Even with a sympathetic nature that I have, I was ready to put him against the wall and face the wall and other disciplinary measures. But already, he crucified his sinful flesh. And it was just tears of sadness. Soon he cheered up. He got to eat Cheerios with Dad. And then for 3 hours, he got to play with his Christmas gifts. And Christmas creates a lifestyle. May that lifestyle be sanctified for all the believers here and everywhere. In Jesus' name, amen.